Welcome to What is Going Om for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. The world is currently in the afterthrows of a global pandemic. Personal liberty is under attack. Democratic nations are becoming more autocratic and totalitarian. Global media censorship is crippling the free flow of scientific and medical debate. And politicians are spewing Orwellian doublespeak, as usual. Families, congregations, towns, states, political parties, and nations are violently split asunder, and nobody knows what's true and what's not. Why is this happening? What's really going on? Are competition, self-destruction, aggression, and corruption really our true nature? Or is there a pervasive evil influence at work in the world with a dark agenda of pulling mankind down to its lowest level? And are there humans aligned with this evil force deliberately carrying out its agenda? And if so, what can we do about it? Kate Montana is a professional journalist who specializes in the field of alternative medicine and health and speaks and teaches about consciousness, ego development, and spirituality. A dauntless explorer of inner and outer worlds, she's the author and co-author of several books, including the one we're going to be discussing today, the newly released Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom, a work that not only addresses the questions that many are raising right now, but as one reviewer declared, is divinely inspired to address most of humanity's problems at this moment in human history. Kate Montana, welcome.
Hi, Sandy.
Kate, your new book, Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom, is one heck of a book, and it is quite different from anything that you've written so far. What was the inspiration for this one?
Oh, holy moly, Sandy. And you should know we've been doing this for 10 years now.
Indeed.
Indeed. Yeah. I was a dedicated spiritual person, happily investigating, meditating, writing about science and psychology and consciousness and quantum physics and writing books about how to become the best you can be. So I'm happily trotting that path. And then 2 years ago, you know, the world went nuts when COVID hit. The world went into instant insanity, this fear, this divisiveness, this viciousness, this clamping down of any sort of egalitarian and open-mindedness, because we know what fear does to the reptilian brain. It just clamps everything down, and everything, you can have the most blatant truth put right in front of you. And if you're in fear and terror, you cannot see it. And so I looked around at the world, Sandy, and I was like, okay, that's it. I give up trying to pretend that everything is okay. I give up trying to fix what's broken. And I'm really, really tired of not knowing really what's going on. What the heck is going on? Why have I, you know, meditated and for 40 years and had amazing enlightenment experiences that I've written about, so many people have and do. And people are, you know, human beings are pretty cool, decent people at the core. I've traveled all over the world. People just want to raise their kids and do what they can to contribute to their community and fulfill themselves in some sort of creative or work endeavor and have a happy life. That's what humanity is about. And I looked at COVID and the debacle that followed, and I went, something's wrong, and doggone it, I know what it is, because I have been facing astral attack, astral forces all of my life. And I've put it away and put it aside and focused on the light like a good little girl, you know, focused on being good and happy and positive and all these things. Now, if I don't look at it, it'll go away. And I finally, when the world dissolved, I went, okay, all of this stuff that we've been doing, all of these self-help, how many millions of self-help books have been published? All of this endeavor to be good and to aspire to a better, kinder world, it all falls apart. It doesn't get us anywhere. It's gotten us to the place where we are falling apart. And of course, that's usually a really good time. Breakdown is breakthrough. So I turned my gaze away from the light and I looked at evil. And I looked it square in the face and started to research this, you know. And I almost hate to, I would really like to nip in the bud using the word evil up front, because it's evil is many things and many definitions, and it's a concept kind of, but this force I would say is indifferent. It is cold. It is binary. It is anti-life. I would call it an anti-life force before I'd actually call it evil. And if something is anti-life, then all sorts of dreadful, what we would term rightfully evil acts transpire. So I had had many experiences all my life, Sandy, with this, what is an invisible astral influence, the best I can describe it. And so I decided to open the curtains and shine the light on this. And it was not, I never in a million years thought I would write about evil and take this dive, but somebody had to do it.
Before we go a little bit further into that and examine that, let's give our viewers and listeners a little bit of light and tell me the conclusion that you came to. Tell us the conclusion, because
I love that.
That's the best bit, and that's what people need to hold on to.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with the positive is this is really positive, because breakdown is breakthrough.
Yes.
And seeing what we've not seen before is breakthrough. That's the key to transformation.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, running in place change, but the transformation we've all been yearning for. And when you start talking about dark forces, astral forces, evil influences, the devil, Beelzebub, all of those things, you know, we go immediately into this shutdown fright place. It's natural. Of course we do. And so we don't want to look at it. But what I found when I looked at it and identified it and identified myself, I realized evil has nothing to do with me. Human beings are spirit. We are pure spirit beings. We are pure love. We are pure love. That influence does not know love. It cannot vibrate at that frequency. That's why the infiltration, the agenda to drag us down into division and conflict, so that we become operative at its level. And when I turned and I looked at evil forces, Sandy, and I was like, oh my God, I recognized they had no power over me whatsoever. They have no power on this earth whatsoever.
Unless we give them power.
Unless we give them power by thinking that we are evil and adopting their agenda of we're bad and wrong, we're sinful, we're shameful, we're wretched creatures.
We're
broken, we're violent, we're aggressive. And we have to be fixed. But I cannot stress enough, when I really turned and I looked in the mirror and I saw only pure love. And everything that I've been researching about this influence, this parasitic force, isn't me. And it was like taking a dead rhinoceros off my back, Sandy. Because all my life I have striven. I always get mixed up on that word. All of my life, I have striven to be a good girl, to be better, to be great, to be enlightened, all these things that, you know, how can you be what you already are? We are pure love. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I don't think there's any one of us who hasn't grown up with guilt, shame, the feeling that we are far from perfect, that we have got to keep working at being better to become something, you know, that is, worthy of God's approval, if you like, you know, if you believe in God. And certainly I agree with you that the last several years, and going back before the pandemic, you know, I mean, we had a nice little introduction to that, you know, in the years after the previous election, when there was a lot of hate being sown, a lot of, you know, all of the standards disappeared, all of the standards of, you know, that we like to live our lives by went out of the window. And most, you know, most people I know, I don't know many people who are evil, who are who would, you know, be trolling people on the internet. And yet we see all these people trolling one another on the internet. And it's like, who are these people? Where have they come from? You know, why are they doing this? If none of us know anyone like that, well, then what is the force at work that is suddenly making those people, you know, come out of the wherever they are, hide behind their computers and be vicious to people who don't deserve it?
Right. Well, that, you know, that's just part of the big question mark, is that, you know, we're taught from the get-go that we live in a world of that God is love, and that we are spirit, and that and then that kind of stuff transpires, and we're left with our scratching our heads trying to go, well, wait a minute, if God is all love, then how do all these terrible things happen? And in the current system of thought that we've been given, and belief systems that we've been given, religion, spirituality, there's no answer to that, because we're just going to spin our wheels trying to reconcile these vicious forces, this vicious anti-life consciousness that just seems to live to tear things down.
You know, many people listening might think, oh God, this is just, you know, crap, it's bullshit. I have interviewed many people over the past years who've talked about certain forces. You know, Hank Wesselman was talking about the egregores, Paul Levy talking about Wetiko, you know, Barbara Hahn Clow, who in her trilogy, her novel, which is fictionalized truth as she knows it, talking about off-planet beings who are projecting evil thoughts into people's minds. And people are, you know, unbeknown to themselves, being influenced by that. You know, there's an awful lot of people saying the same thing. So we have to look at this and we have to give it some credence. So what do you think this all, this force is? Is it, you know, just as Paul Levy says, you know, is it Wetiko? Is it a meme? Is it something that doesn't actually exist other than as a thought form?
Well, that's interesting that you say as only a thought form. But, you know, it's interesting. I read Paul Levy's book, Wetiko, and at the end, brilliant book. And at the end, I couldn't tell you what the hell it was. I couldn't really. And that is the defining aspect. Parasitic influence, that it is, it's ephemeral. It shows up, I think, quite frankly, I think it insinuates itself into our consciousness and reads what is our greatest fear and then projects that. So it's never the same thing for any two people. But it is consistent in it. Debases whatever somebody down. As I say, you know, if we truly are beings, spirit beings, and if we're truly spirit beings of pure love, then none of this can have any influence on it unless, as we've said, you open the door to it through various teachings, religious teachings. Let's start with original sin. That has been probably one of the most deadly teachings ever perpetrated upon humanity. to believe that I was just to be born into this body, I'm corrupt from the start, and that I have to work my way up.
Oh, because you're a woman.
Oh, and then because I'm a woman, that's just, yeah. That's just the icing on the cake, being a woman.
Yeah.
But
everything.
But this force, to get back to your original question, this force is so ephemeral, and so now you see it, now you don't. And it's non-physical to start with. And so we have been assiduously trained in the last 300 years that through science that what you could seeing is believing. If you can't touch it, can't smell it, it isn't real. So we've been gradually pulled out of the more psychic realms in our world, in our own consciousness, so that we see less and less. You know, the ancient Greeks were very, very clear about this presence. They talked about it bluntly. They called these beings the archons, and that they were evil. They used the word evil. Perpetrators trying to divide humanity and destroy us from within, not from without.
For what purpose?
For what purpose? Now, that's a really good question. From what I've been able to divine in my research, the purpose is fundamentally to bring humanity. These are astral, if you will, for lack of a better word, interdimensional forces, non-physical. They lust after physical expression. They see our light. They don't understand it, but they want it because that's their nature, to want to devour, to want to have, own, devour. And so they have come after us to lower our light so that we eventually get to the frequency level where they can embody through us fully. As us, no more humanity, just this, let's use the word Wetiko or Wendigo, as the Iroquois nation called it, or Epa, as the Hawaiians call it, or Ashatan, as they say in Islam, or there are so many, every culture on the planet, Sandy, has a name and a description.
Yes, that's true.
For this presence.
Yes. Yeah. So... it's so you talk about an ephemeral, non-physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just what we think? I mean, could this be some kind of otherworldly race of beings?
Yeah. I hesitate to go down that path because one of the most effective methodologies is to have us chase elsewhere. Maybe it's aliens. Yeah. And then being the curious creatures that we are, we go herring off down the, well, maybe it's this extraterrestrial influence, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. And we get into the religious, the devil scenario, and we make up all these stories instead of actually addressing what's right here and in our lives and in affecting each and every one of us as a, you know, everybody knows that little voice inside, that little negative voice that just really is destructive. And that's what to address. It's, you know, and I think that it's really easy to try to explain, it's all too easy to try to explain it away. I know one of the reasons that it, I know the reason that it took me many decades, shall we say, to come to this conversation and to turn around and look at this force, was because every time an astral, you know, a bad dream, a nightmare of torture when you're five, a nightmare of rape when you're five, where did that come from? I was subject to that at very young ages. But it was so horrific, I just put it away. And my natural impulse, even at five, was to not say anything about it because it was so horrifying. You know, I wanted to be a good little girl and make mommy proud. So you don't bring up stuff like that. And then all of these influences happened in these liminal states between waking and sleeping, or at night at sleep. Later in my life, as I learned to meditate and got deeply into meditation, I was horrifically attacked by astral invisible entities. And I would say now, Wetiko, Wendigo, Aepa, whatever we want to call it, it really doesn't, the archons, it doesn't matter. I was horrifically attacked when I started to turn towards the light and started to raise my frequency and started to meditate. I was pulled out of my body and thrown into astral graveyards and attacked by beasts. I mean, you know, bloody claws and fangs and the whole nine yards. It was terrifying. Thank God I had actually finished my master's degree in psychology, and, you know, I had enough inner knowing and psychological understanding to realize that I was stable. But even so, these astral attacks made me drove me to a psychiatrist, because I just had to go, what's going on? And of course, the minute I went to a psychiatrist, he thought he had a great book and a paper in me, and wanted to go into long-term therapy. And I remember it was an initial conversation with this doctor, and I walked out of his office and sat in my car crying. And I was realizing, wait, I know what I've experienced is real. And it's not that there aren't schizophrenic, there is not that they're not people who don't have hallucinations. They're not that it's not that there's not very sick people on this planet, but I wasn't one of them. And I damn well knew it in my heart of hearts. So I ended up actually going to a psychologist, and who was more worried about my issues with my stepfather than astral influences. She just went, oh, well, you're waking up. You're opening your Kundalini energy. This is really evolutionary. It's not usual, but it's evolutionary. You should be, you know. So I was like, oh, I didn't have a word for astral back then. So what I'm trying to say is this force is so slippery that it's, you know, we'll do anything. Okay, maybe it's aliens. Well, maybe it's this, maybe. Rather, yeah. When I think the only course that I've come to is to really stop in my own being and take the time to center myself, and feel what my body feels and knows is true. Because this is a really important point. One of the things that I've realized in 40 years of meditation and working in the spiritual new age arena is that the whole impulse to get out of the body and go to the light is part of this agenda.
I'm going to come back to that a bit later, because, you know, we'll be going to a break in about 4 minutes. There's something else that I want to bring in here, because you also write in Cracking the Matrix, and you do your research. Everything's documented, referenced, footnoted, etc. People can follow all of that. But you say at one point, we think we have freedom of choice when it comes to the kind of messaging we tune into. But when it comes to media programming, freedom of choice is a total illusion, because 6 corporations, National Amusements, Disney, Time Warner, Comcast, News Corp, and Sony, control 90% of what we read, listen to, and watch. And that these corporate behemoths, in turn, are controlled by just 3 global asset management firms that appear to be separate, but whose assets are in fact intertwined. Now, you're bringing that into this story.
Yeah.
Are these organizations colluding with this force, or are they capitalizing on what this force is capable of doing?
I think it's a combination of both, Sandy. It goes to the nitty gritty question, is humanity complicit? And the answer is some people, yes. We're dealing with an intangible, you know, that can't pick up a pen. How powerful is that? You know, a force that can't even pick up a bloody pen. Not very powerful. So it's got to insinuate itself into human beings and take over their consciousness, if you will. And to have hands, brains, feet on the ground in this world to perpetrate its agenda and to manifest it for them. And, you know, I talk in the book, it's a, well, what's the doorway? What's the doorway in for this force? And the primary, I would say, entryway is fear. Mm-hmm. It's whatever we can do to create a sense of vulnerability and fear, then we're desperate for any sort of answers, any sort of salvation, any leader, any spiritual leader, any guru, whatever comes in and whispers in our ear, please save me, you know, from myself, from this world, from this terrifying situation I find myself in, of believing that I'm separate from my neighbor, separate from you, alone in a skin suit that can be hurt, emotionally hurt. Mm. So the doorway is fear and conflict. And you know, and I talk in the book, and this is a work in progress. And it's not like I'm sitting here going, well, I have all the answers to this. I do not. I feel that, you know, we all are familiar with the concept of our shadow. We've all got crap in our lives that we're ashamed of, that we wouldn't want anybody to know about. And so these entities, those are all doorways. And any sense of shame, any sense of guilt, striving to be something that we're not, you know, because I'm this lowly, horrible creature here. These all create gaps in our psyche that this astral mental force can insinuate. And then we don't know our thoughts from its thoughts.
And do you believe that, you know, I mean, you're a journalist. I was a journalist. Journalism in my day was journalism.
Yeah.
Journalism today, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what they
are. Certainly, one cannot trust the media anymore.
Right.
And pretty soon it's all going to be written by bots anyway, artificial intelligence. And, you know, I don't even know where that's going to go.
Right.
But do you think that the collusion that the media conglomerates are working hand in hand with these dark forces for a particular agenda?
The average reporter on the street, no.
No.
Probably most of your news desk editors, no. But the high agenda of the infiltration has been on such a high level, Sandy. And I mean, if every newspaper you pick up, if every newscast you watch on TV or listen to on the radio has as its source three mega asset corporations with a leadership, okay? And they set the agenda. Now, the same companies that own CBS, NBC, ABC, BBC, CBC, they own Pfizer, Moderna.
Yeah.
So the same companies own the media, own the pharmaceutical companies, which own the big ag companies.
Yeah. And
they have this agenda that filters out through these arms that they march, they have their marching orders. They have their, this is what we can say and this is what we can't say.
And
you know, it's like, I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I pulled a statistic from him. He said something like 70% of advertising, news advertising, is pharmaceutical and big ags.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we know that. And of course, we've all seen over the last week or so, you know, Rupert Murdoch himself admitting that he knew certain things and still had his, you know, presenters say something different. And the presenters themselves knew the truth and said something different. We're going to come back to this in a moment. Kate, you're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and today I'm speaking with journalist, speaker, screenwriter, and author Kate Montana. And we're talking about her latest book, Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom. And it is quite a challenging and eye-opening conversation, but I hope you'll stay tuned and we'll get more from Kate in a few moments.
OM Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. OM Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, OM Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an OM Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on OM Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive OM Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. OM Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? And as an author, editor, and 13 times book judge who's read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors, I'm constantly asked what's really worth reading and what's not. So I created the No BS Spiritual Book Club to help you save time and money by picking the brains of discerning names who have walked this path before you. There's no catch, no fees, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library of 10 best spiritual book lists from some of your favourite authors and teachers, plus free book excerpts, audios and video interviews with people like Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., David G., Lee Harris, Mark Nepo and more. From well-known classics to hidden gems you've never heard of, it's the only No BS guide to the best spiritual books to enlighten your journey of self-discovery. So why not join the club? Get inspired and save money at the NoBSSpiritualBookClub.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Kate Montana, we don't have enough time to go into all the questions that I've got lined up for you. And I do want to make sure that we get to the 14 keys that you offer, which are really valuable. Before we do that, I do have some questions. What I want to know is, and first of all, I will say that there's a lot of people who are probably listening to this and thinking, conspiracy theorist, et cetera, et cetera. And I would just like to say, yes, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. In fact, every theory is a conspiracy theory. But at the same time, we've also been very well trained over the last few years to call things fake news and conspiracy theory just in order to laugh at, to laugh at it help people believe that it's not possibly true. Mm-hmm. But what I want to ask you is that if we believe in God, mm-hmm. and if we believe in love, and if we believe that we are love, how is it that this dark force can exist in the face of that?
Well, it's a great question. It's a long-term infiltration psyops game, if you will, over tens of thousands of years, Sandy. This has been an omnipresent influence that's been here for, I've traced it back like to 50,000 BC. So, and it's anybody's guess where its origin is. It is a matter of slow infiltration. Let me give you an example of how a being of love, like ourselves, believes in God, comes along and it is a part of the Christian religion, and is introduced to the concept of original sin. So, which you know, divorces us from our bodies, fills us with shame. And the epigenetic influence from generation to generation to generation, we're talking a couple hundred generations of human beings on this planet who have, in the Christian Western faith, have been nibbled at, gnawed at, and with shame and guilt and a sense of being bad and wrong just for being alive.
So you're saying it's a war of attrition, really. We've been worn down.
Really. But, you know, I'd really like to just give you an example. An original sin is a perfect example of how this influences. So the concept of original sin was introduced into the Christian faith somewhere around 370 AD by Augustine of Hippo. So Augustine of Hippo, who we now know as St. Augustine, started off life as a pretty much a degenerate kid. He was a sexual reprobate. He was an atheist. He was a pagan like his father, not his mother, who was Christian. His mother despaired for his soul. And somewhere in his 20s, late 20s, early 30s, he was introduced to a philosophy that called Manichaeism, a religious philosophy called Manichaeism, that was started by the prophet of Babylon, Mani, in about 250 AD. And Mani proposed that the flesh was corrupt and that we couldn't help ourselves for being bad dudes and dudettes because we came into these bodies and that the flesh is naturally corrupt, sinful, blah, blah, blah. So we're born into sin. So Augustine latches on to Mani's philosophy and goes, oh, that's why I've been such a bad boy all my life. Oh my God. Now I have an excuse. Okay. Wow. So he converts to Christianity. He adopts the whole philosophy of original sin and introduces it into the Christian creed. Mommy is very, very pleased with her son for converting and finally seeing the light. So now the question is, where did Mani get the idea of original sin in the first place? So this prophet of Babylon in 250 AD talks about his other self, which was this disembodied voice that used to whisper in his ear and tell him things. And he didn't ever see this entity, but he finally believed what this entity was telling him. And this entity was whispering in his ear about, this is the source of your corruption. So Mani writes it down. Augustine of Hippo comes along. It's incorporated into the Christian creed. And, you know, 1500 years later, we've got a chronic examples of, we have self-esteem issues coming out our ears. We wonder why. This is the kind of insidious influence that travels across thousands of years, embeds itself in our DNA, in our very genetics, in our very emotional DNA. And, you know, 1500 years later, you got a lot of guilt-ridden human beings who believe terrible things about themselves from the outset. So what the hell's used to try to do anything or be anything? Because I'm a pile of poo anyway, and I deeply believe it in the core of my being. And I don't care how many self-help books I read, there's this subconscious, insidious influence that we see. Oh my God. I mean, our media, for God's sakes, you look at the programming, it's all about dysfunction. It's all about sexual debauchery. It's all about drug addiction. It's all about emotional dysfunction. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. And we wonder why we have self-doubt. And then spirituality comes along and it's all about look to the light. Be positive, be positive, be positive. You can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. Oh my God. You know, immediately I go, well, hell, I'm never going to manage that. Oh, I just had a negative thought. Oh my God, I'm such a bad guy. Oh my God, I just judged myself. I had a negative thought. This is assessment. Oh no, that's another negative thought. You know, so the whole gig is to get us convinced that we're piled through and that we've got to do this and this and this and listen to this and this and this to try to crawl out of this hole that we are in. And in the meantime, we're these beautiful, exquisite, extraordinary, unlimited beings of pure love.
But, you know, if these dark forces, you know, if they're envying whatever it is we have, and their goal is to wear us down until we are the same frequency of them as yeah. them, and then they can take over our physical form, I don't know. They're never going to have what they're looking for, because
no.
we will no longer be those beings of light. And ultimately, how sad are they? You know, how sad that there is a force of energy that just wants to destroy.
Exactly. It's pathetic. It's weak. It's pathetic. It's intelligent. And it's patient. And it's insidious.
So, okay. We've got about, I don't know, about 10 more, maybe 15 minutes max. What I want to do is focus on the positive now.
Absolutely.
There's so much more that can be said, and you can go and read, you know, Kate's book, and you can get everything there. Let's talk about how we can start believing again. How can we break through this, you know, terrible number that's been done on us all, and mm-hmm. really begin to see who we are?
Yeah. You know, that's the... It's so simple, Sandy. And the minute anybody says, it's so simple, you know, you got to run screaming like, no, no, because so simple is so hard. We have to start trusting ourselves and who we really are. And we have to stop. You know, it was interesting when I was writing the book, I wrote all the evil influence and I threw it out to a bunch of people, you included, and said, what do you think of this? And it's like, well, it's pretty enlightening, but it's pretty negative. And I was like, I got to do something to mitigate that. So I started writing these keys, like, because I'm stepping myself through this process of disengaging from this influence. Myself, I mean, yeah. So when I was writing the book and I was sitting there going, God, what's the first key? What's the first key? What's the first key? And I just stopped. And I went, oh, and then it hit me. Oh, the very first key to getting out of this quagmire is stopping. You know, we're going 1,000 miles an hour. We're doing this. We're meditating. We're doing this. We're going to this guru. We're reading that book. We're, you know, we're whatever. Stop. And just sink into your body and register where you're at and start to tune into your body. That, quite frankly, I have found is the bottom line key, Sandy, is the body. Oh, our embodiment is pure love. We are pure love. Our bodies are pure love. There's no difference between the two, except our heads are involved in who we think we are. And the body never lies, though. It's our grounding rod. It's our talisman. It's our truth teller. The body never lies. Mm. So to get back in touch with the body is the real first step. We all know that feeling, that gut feeling of whoa, your head, your heart, and your gut kind of align. And you go, oh, I need to go that way. I need to do this, not that. We know that body intelligence, but we override it. We're taught to override it. And we're so busy, we're taught to be busy, that it's almost the last place we go. And then we have religion. I'm going to pour Christianity, keep banging the drum. You know, we're taught that the body is corrupt. Well, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Then we go into spirituality and it's all about go to the light, get out of your body, go to the light, out of your body, out, not in. The answer is out there from a guru or from God or from a voice that whispers in your ear and tells you a message, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter, but it's all out there. The answer is in here. And I cannot tell you how I fought against that, because I've got, okay, I'll be blatant. I got 70 years of programming in me telling me that it's all out there and that down and in is the bad place. even though we, you know, we pay lip service to the body and Mother Earth and Gaia and stuff like that, but it's lip service. So yeah, okay, stop, and register what your body is telling you in any given moment. That was my starting place, literally.
Are you saying then that people should stop reading all the self-help books, stop trying to, you know, face their shadow, be better, put away some of that, stop following the teachers?
Well, if I said that, then I'd be one more teacher that I was telling people not to follow. So, you know, the best I can come up with that, Sandy, is to, again, go within, trust what you're really pulled to do. I personally don't read a whole lot. I would love it if people would read my book and then not read any others. That's great. But truly, it is about trust your feeling. And if you're guided in this particular way and you really, really have gone within sincerely and rested with that, go to that teacher, go to that book, follow your internal guidance system. And, you know, and when you read that book, don't just swallow it whole hog. Listen to your internal guidance system. Question, you know, question freaking everything is kind of my mantra at this moment in time. And then the answer isn't out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you
yeah.
question, the answer is in here. So, you know, God, trust your heart, your feelings, your gut, your body. And then I think the other thing is like, we are so assiduously programmed to turn away from anything that smacks of conspiracy. And as you say, you know, if you cheat on your taxes and you with your tax accountant, you're in a conspiracy. If you have an affair, you know, on your husband or wife or partner or whatever, you're in a conspiracy. So it's like, and we're taught to not believe conspiracies because anyway, you know, and it really gets down to who is my authority.
Well, this is it. I mean, now we're talking about sovereignty, aren't we?
It's all about sovereignty. It's all about ultimately coming to freedom, which is why I titled the book about individual and global freedom. You cannot be free if you don't see what's going on.
So you've got 14 keys.
Yeah.
Tell us some of the others. Stop being the first
one. I have to do a cheat sheet here and actually look.
Can I tell you? I can tell you what they are.
I've got them right in front of me.
You can talk about them. Yeah.
Recognize beliefs and systems that negate who you really are. You know, if you come to a teacher who says, follow me, listen to me, run away. Listen, recognize beliefs and systems, anything that tells you that you are not a being of pure love, and that you've got to improve, do something, do this, do that, do the other. How, you know, this is the thing that blew my mind, Sandy, is how can I become what I already am? Okay. So everything, we're back to this insidious agenda, this insidious influence. It's everywhere. And if you look at the bottom line message of the influence is taking us away from our own pure love, our own true being, our own belief and trust in our own self. That's the gig. Anything that makes you mistrust your own sense of self and what you know in your body and in your heart. Embrace your autonomy, and that's where that lies. That is autonomy. Create a clear vision of the world you want to live in. And then don't let anything in the door that doesn't align with that. And if you see something showing up in the world and in your life that doesn't feel right, but everybody else is doing it, what do you feel? What does the life force tell you? Follow the love life force. It's in your body. I have to say how shocked I am, Sandy, to have this message now that, you know, about the body, because I was all out there. I was out there. The further out I could get, the better. And now I'm finding that my true power, my true authority, my glory is in my body here right now, expressing love. Whoa.
You have another one, love your body and follow the money. What does that mean?
Love your body. Well, it's if you find, if there are things showing up in the world, and from virtual reality to watching too much Netflix, you know, you're being sold everywhere you go. Follow the money. I mean, whatever shows up on your doorstep and says, this is what you need to do, and this is what you have to have or take or consume. Look at the money trail behind it. Why are you getting that message? Why are we getting the message not to grow gardens? Because working in the soil can cause cancer and heart attacks? I mean, there's studies out there and articles out there saying, no, you can't garden. Gardening is dangerous. Growing your own food is dangerous. What's the message behind that message? I think one of the most important things, Sandy, and this really can't be understated, is leave, if we want to call this evil, we want to call it Wetiko, whatever we want to call it, this astral influence. I like to call it a parasite. Hmm. It's really a mental parasite. And the thing we've been trained to do is to battle it. Whatever shows up, good, the white hats and the black hats, the good versus evil, the right versus wrong. You know, the whole world is built on black and white. You know, every mythology and story, the entertainment industry is built on the white hats and the black hats. The best advice I can give is you can't battle it because it's powerless. Why do battle with something that doesn't have any power? Mm-hmm. Unless you battle it and give it power. So the thing that this has been so hard because all the research I've done in the last couple of years to write this book has pissed me off so bad. I cannot tell you. And I have wanted to charge into the fray with my spear and my banner. I don't know how many times and do battle. And I got to go, whoa, Nelly, and go, oh, shit. Okay. No. Whew, breathe. Center. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Nope. It has no influence. Why am I bothering with it? It has no influence. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Don't let the door get in the butt on the way out. Bye-bye.
Don't allow it into your reality.
Don't mess with it. But you see, not allowing it into our reality is all the let's just focus on positivity and the light. Look it square in the eye. Know what you're dealing with so that you know it when it shows up on your doorstep. Or on your computer or on your TV screen and you go, nope, click, nope, click. But don't do battle with it. It's not bad or wrong. It just is what it is. It's a completely separate force. It has nothing to do with light, has nothing to do with love, has nothing to do with life. So it's a separate, its own thing.
Tell me before, we've got a few seconds left. Tell me before we close.
Yeah.
How has having this epiphany and writing this book changed your life?
Oh, holy moly. It's unbelievable. You know, all these decades I've been looking for stepping into a new reality. I've stepped into the reality that we have all been looking for. And what a doorway to walk through. But turning and looking at this force and realizing it's not me, it was the game changer.
So shame, guilt, fear, they're all gone?
Oh no, they all show up, but I know what they are, and I know what to, and I have a profound deepening sense of kindness to myself. And a deepening sense of gentility with myself and therefore with others in the world, because I know what we've been, I know what's been perpetrated. I know how we've been molested for thousands of years. And I know the wounding we're dealing with that I'm still dealing with. So no, those things, of course, they still show up, but I have a much greater reservoir of love now that I know that that influence is not me. And I genuinely know it's not me. And so that gives me the breathing space to be ever more engaged and embody the love that I am. And
we're going to have to leave it there, Kate. But that's a really good note to leave it on. You know, I mean, that will be repeated to everybody. You know who you are and be the love that you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Kate Montana, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy. It's great as usual.
Always is. For more information about Kate Montana, her work and books, including Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom, visit her website at katemontana.com, and that's Kate with a C, not a K. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope you'll join me again at the same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me, and thank you to Kate Montana.